is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine conflict, a report from London in these last days about Vladimir Putin, the three-time elected president of Russia, who makes remarks on television and commonplacedly that do not comport with legitimate behavior by a ruler of a G20 or G7 or any nation. So therefore, what is to be done? I read from London. Vladimir Putin is becoming rash and secretive in the face of battlefield defeats, Kremlin insiders have warned, as the Russian leader is said to be making snap decisions without consulting with some of his military chiefs. I welcome John Bolton, former National Security Advisor for the Trump administration, former ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration, writing in 1945 about what is to be done. John, these reports are not the first time we've heard of the president of Russia ordering generals or making decisions. What was called during the Vietnam War, John, a 3,000-mile screwdriver, a 10,000-mile screwdriver, reaching in from Washington to decide how things should be done in Vietnam. You suggest that this is plenty of reason for Russia to shed itself of Vladimir Putin. Would that be sufficient, John? Is that an adequate regime change, or do we need more? Good evening.
Well, I think Putin's domestic situation is clearly becoming much more difficult because of these battlefield reverses in Ukraine. And, there are differing military opinions about what's going on there. But the news from the Russian perspective is uniformly bad, even as Putin upped the political stakes by purporting to annex four Ukrainian provinces into Russia. So now his troops are fighting on, and by the way, seemingly largely retreating on what he now says is Russian soil. And his efforts to call up reserves or draft personnel into the military has resulted in flight from the country by young men who are subject to that order. It's clear things are not going well. And in those circumstances, you hear more Russians, Alexei Navalny from prison, writing about what a post-Putin government would look like. And I think in the military and in the intelligence services, almost certainly watching this debacle, this embarrassment that's happening to them in Ukraine, they've got to be thinking about doing something about it. Now, whether and how far they're able to go remains very much an open question, because at the very top, the control by Putin and his cohorts, I think, remains strong.
Late in the war in Europe in 1944-45, we're told again and again with plenty of anecdotes that generals started discussing what can be done because they were ordered not to die in place, not to pull back, not to consolidate their forces. They were getting directions from Berlin, from the Reichskanzler, from Hitler himself. Now, that is a far away from where we are right now, John, but can we imagine that general officers are discussing what needs to be done among themselves? Is that something that's credible, or is that a science fiction novel?
No, I think those discussions probably are going on very, very quietly, to be sure. As you described the Vietnam situation, a 10,000-mile-long screwdriver, or as our personnel in Iraq called it 20 years ago, a 3,000-mile-long screwdriver. If faced with unhappy news from the battlefield, it's not surprising capitals try to weigh in. That doesn't mean it's a good thing. Putin's not a military person by training. He's an intelligence person, and those two don't necessarily make for the same set of skills. If there's going to be regime change in Russia, it's going to come in the first instance from the military or the intelligence services, because civil society just at this point doesn't have the wherewithal to effect a regime change.
You write that we shouldn't look to the flag officers for a challenge to Putin. Who should we look for then, John?
Well, the experience in third world countries is it's not the people at the very top who have a lot invested in maintaining the status quo. It's the people right below the top, the colonels, the one-star generals, who have a lot of upside if they can affect the change. Now, people who know the Russian military well say that they think Putin's got control pretty deep into it, and I'm sure over 20 years of power he's developed that. But he's also never been faced with this kind of debacle. At least he personally hasn't. The Russians themselves have seen it in Afghanistan, and I think for their military, the thought of going through that again is one of the factors that's probably leading to some of these discussions.
The question of Putin in the world after, theoretically, after this Ukraine conflict, is this someone that the G20 or G7 nations could ever deal with, John? Is this somebody who could be sitting down at a table with someone representing NATO?
Well, you know, a number of our European friends, really for quite some time after the Russian invasion of Ukraine in February, seemed to believe that it was possible. In those early days, of course, John Kerry here in this country was saying, well, I hope we can still negotiate with Putin on climate change. But I think at this point, we're well past that. I mean, we've seen the results of the Russian efforts in Ukraine, mass graves, stories of torture and rape and things like that. I just think it's more and more difficult to imagine normal diplomatic relations with Putin whenever the war ends, whatever brings it to an end. Hard to see how he can just go back to business as usual before the invasion.
So what is necessary? What happens next? You indicate that pushing from the outside, is that going to be effective, John, or will that scar whoever comes next?
No, I think this has got to be primarily inside. I think how much assistance, what kind, how visible it is, we need to be guided by the Russians themselves. They don't want to be discredited by too close an affiliation with us, but they also need help. So they'll be the judges of it. But I think we're going to go through several stages here. One would be a kind of post-Putin regime from the military or other security services, because there really aren't the kinds of government structures we understand in Western constitutional societies. Even in the Soviet Union, after the Cuban Missile Crisis, Nikita Khrushchev was told less than politely it was time for him to retire by the Politburo of the Communist Party. And even that kind of structure doesn't exist today. It's a group of Putin and his friends, and I think ultimately all of them are going to have to go.
This is a nuclear power, underlined by the fact that the Kremlin wanted us to know a train associated with nuclear weapons was sent moving with photographs. They wanted us to see it from central Russia towards what we're told is the Ukraine front. Who knows, John? Disinformation, the Russians are good at it. But doesn't that make him outside of acceptable behavior as a dictator? And doesn't removing him then introduce that nuclear wild card? Doesn't this make it more dangerous to make Russia unstable than the present condition?
Well, I think the normal instinct of the Russian military would be to be sure the nuclear weapons were under control. And in fact, it's Putin who's introduced the element of nuclear instability himself, or threatening months and months ago to put Russian nuclear forces on a higher state of alert, and threatening in recent days the potential that people interpret as a threat to use a tactical nuclear weapon inside Ukraine. So he's the one who's introduced this element, and I think from the position of Russian citizens and, in fact, the Russian military, this is another signal to them that that they need very seriously to consider trying to find a way to bring this war to a halt from the inside by removing the regime that's the cause of it.
We don't know what the administration, the National Security Advisor, Mr. Sullivan, has said to Russia in the event of using a weapon of mass destruction. General Petraeus said we would immediately move to neutralize Russian forces in Ukraine and the Black Sea Fleet. Is that sufficient to intimidate them, John?
Well, I think that's certainly something we should do. I think you've got to levy responsibility on the person who ultimately is the one responsible to order the use of nuclear weapons if that occurs, and that's Putin himself. I think he needs to understand, and we should say it publicly so his generals know it too, that if he orders a tactical nuclear weapon deployed in Ukraine, that he's just signed a suicide note.
John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former Ambassador to the United Nations. I'm John Batchelor.